Appreciate what's gone before us. Ask your continued interest in your prayers. I'm going to read a verse to introduce my topic, and then we may refer back to it a few times, but not really deal so much with that passage. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the context of what Paul is preaching here is he's talking about the gospel and the blessing of the gospel, and has his preaching of the gospel and his ministry to the saints, and how what a blessing it is when God blesses us to be able to embrace the gospel. Okay? But there's a foundation there that I want to deal with that shows how we are in how we're able to receive the gospel and rejoice in it. All right? But here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Let me go back to verse 5 to give you a little bit of for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We've already heard a good lesson this morning about being a good servant, and that applies to all of us, whatever our calling in life. But here, Paul's speaking about being a faithful servant to the Lord, all right? And so it's important that we put Christ first in the ministry. If we're holding him up above all else, and we're pointing to him, and we're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that's where Brother Kenneth finished with his reading. If we're pointing to him, then there's no better example that we can have. All right? So he says we preach, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. Now I want to break this down a little bit. First of all, he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When did he, you know, let's think in the natural sense. And by the way, let me give you a principle here. let me give you a principle. See if you understand or see if you embrace what I'm talking about. Natural life enables the natural man to see natural things. To see and understand natural things. Okay? And That's just a basic principle, isn't it? Right. When we have natural life, the course is, when we have, you know, the rule is, natural life, we have then the ability to see natural things and understand natural lessons. That's just a basic principle. But the things of God are different. Right. The things of God require the Spirit of God in us for us to be able to see it. Didn't Jesus tell Nicodemus that lesson? And I'll get to that in just a minute. But this is so vitally important if we're going to understand the scriptures. Because what has given us the ability, when God shines the light in, what gives us the ability to appreciate the things of God is that he's already given us his Spirit. So with the natural life, all we have is the natural ability to see and understand natural things. All right? Now, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And what happened? There was light. It was a command of God, and there was light. Now we're talking about natural light, okay? But God commanded it, right? And listen, when I say God, it's kind of like putting it in quotation marks, because we understand the Godhead is made up of the Father, the Word, or the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The Word, the Son of God, was with God in the beginning, right? That's what John tells us in the very beginning of the gospel according to John. He says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, meaning a person. And that person is Christ, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. When? In the beginning. Before he even had a body. Before he had a body of flesh, he was with the Father in the beginning. The Godhead consisted from the very beginning, before time was created. In eternity past, there was God the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So my point is this. When God said, we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the second person in the Trinity being actively engaged in creation. The Son of God, the Word of God, before he became flesh and dwelt among us, he had his eternal abode with the Father. Now we need to understand that. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the eternal Word of God. Okay? So when John tells us about this, in 1 John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Who? The Word. All things were made by him. So in creation, it is the Word of God. It is the second person in the Trinity speaking this world into existence. Now that's important to hold on to, because when we get to spiritual things, it's going to be the same Word. Okay? So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Thank you. I'm getting hard of hearing. Do you believe that? How do you know that? You really believe that? Does everybody believe that? Everybody does not believe that. Well, how do you know it? How do you know it? Because God shined the light into your heart. And he hasn't shined that light into everybody's heart. And he's not going to shine that light into everybody's heart. And that's where so many people in the world, they just wrestle with this idea. Well, how can you talk about God loving some people and not others? How can you talk about Jesus saving some people and not others? How can you talk about some people are born of the Spirit and some are not? Well, look around you. They dwell among us. Not everybody loves God. Not everybody believes that God just spoke this world into existence. It is a fundamental principle that if you're able to grasp this principle and rejoice in it, then God has shined that light into your heart. And he has shown you that it is the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He did that in the beginning. He said, let there be light, and there was light. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. That's individually. You know, what he did in the beginning was for the whole world. Whether you believe God or not, there's light in this world. Okay? Your believing it doesn't make it so. That's another important principle. Your believing it doesn't make it so. It's already so. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of a certain thing. To give the light. You know, he did it for the world at large, or all of his creation. He said, let there be light, and there was light. It happened. Nobody was there to say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. He did it. God who commanded the light shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Well, what has he done in our hearts? To give the light. Light is synonymous with understanding. Light is synonymous with being able to discern, to understand what is going on, what he's talking about. He shined in our hearts to give the light, understanding, light of the knowledge, the fact. Whether you believe it or not, this happens. Amen. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All these things that were made in this world that are so glorious, they were made by the Word of God. Amen. The Word. And if you're blessed to understand that it was the Word, and if you're blessed to understand that the Word it was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's because he has shined in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He hasn't done that for everybody. The reason I know that, because everybody doesn't believe. All right? You say, well, we know that, preacher. Yeah. But you begin to speak scriptures with some folks, and some folks have the idea that they can just make a decision. They're going to believe, and they'll believe. That's not the way it works. God has to turn on the light. God has to bless us first to be able to see it. Then once we're able to see it, then we can start embracing it. Then we can believe it. Then we can rejoice in it. And then we can respond. And so many people call upon people to make a decision so that they can be born again, so that they can be a child of God. Listen, if God's turned on the light, you're already a child of God. He turned on the light because you are. Well, who are children of God? Well, the Bible tells us plainly that there's a people. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It is clear from scriptures, from Ephesians 1 and 4, from 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, from 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, and other places you can go and find that he speaks of God having a foreknowledge, and which means his love was set upon a particular people before they ever existed. All right? They're his. If you're a child of God, you have always been a child of God. Amen. It's not a matter of, oh, I think I believe that. Now I can become part of the family. No. He chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It's God's purpose to bring them into the family. All right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, calling of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is what has cleansed us from our sins and made us righteous in the sight of God. All right? Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. Well, let's go back to verse 28. Verse 28, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I don't have a lot of time to deal with that, all things working together, but I'll tell you this, it's for them that love God. Right. Who loves God? We love him because he first loved us. Right? I mean, I'm just laying the foundation. I'm building on the principle here. We love him because he first loved us. When did he love us? Before the foundation of the world. I mean, it's when you're on the foundation, when you're on the foundation of truth, you can see how all of this fits together. If you're not on the foundation, you can get really confused. You know, Elder Sonny Powell used to say you can be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. You know? And you can be if you're not on the foundation. But when you're on the foundation, and when you understand that God has a people, and in time he makes himself known to his people, when he shines that light into our heart, giving us the light, the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God is the brightest expression of the glory of God is in the face of his Son. Why? Because from the foundation of the world, he purposed that he would send his Son. His Son would save us from our sins. His Son would die on the cross, shed his precious blood, redeem us, pay our sin debt, and rise again from the dead, and someday he's coming back to take us home to be with him forever. Those he died for. Those given to him to save. Of course, I got to go to John 6, don't I? He came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose. How many? Is 1% acceptable? No, not at all. I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. Oh, as we think about what God purposed to do through his Son. And so it is those to whom God has shined the light into their hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Because it is Christ who was sent to save us. It is Christ who has saved us. It is Christ who, let's get another one of those verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. According to the power of God, who has saved us and called us. He shined that light in our heart and called us with an holy calling. That's not the preacher calling you to repentance and baptism. That's God calling you from a death in sins to a life in Christ. Right. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Wait a minute, preacher. Aren't we supposed to do good works? Yes, absolutely. As much as we can. But it's not what gets us a home in heaven. My question, when somebody's contending that the good works are absolutely necessary to outweigh your bad works so that you can go to heaven, my contention is, how much is enough? How much? How much is enough? Who's going to decide? Is this man going to decide and set it at this level, and somebody else decide and set it at this level? God's already told us how much is enough. Perfection. Never having sinned. That's how much is enough. Oh, but preacher, I can't do that. You're right. You can't. God knew that. That's why he purposed to send his Son to save us from our sins. And you're safe in the blood of Jesus. How much is enough? God demanded perfection. And Jesus brought perfection. And he accomplished everything in perfection. When he said, I came down not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, he came to do the Father's will, and he did it in perfection. He did it in power. He did it in glory. I mean glorious power. The men of the earth, kings of the earth, tried everything they could to get rid of him. They wanted him dead. I think it's very early in the book of Matthew, around chapter 4, 5, 6, well, let's see, 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, but maybe it's right after that. But anyway, early in the book of Matthew, you'll find that the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests sought how they might destroy him. They hated him, just like Joseph. That's one of the ways that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, is they hated him without a cause. Oh, they had their cause, but it wasn't a just cause. They hated him without a cause. Why? Because God had not shined the light in their heart. Let's see. Psalm 33. No, not Psalm 33. Psalm 10. You know, if you remember the CB days, this is a big 10-4, good buddy. Remember that. Psalm 10-4. It's a big 10-4. All right? Psalm 10-4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Did you get that? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. And that's an absolute statement. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. When you make your definition about God being omnipresent, you need to allow this. The wicked, God is not in all his thoughts. So if you talk about God being everywhere present, that's fine. Just remember, he's not in the thoughts of the wicked. The wicked do not give God credit for anything. They'll go to great lengths to try to figure out theories that try to explain the existence and the continuation of the universe, but they will not give God any credit. Because he's not in their thoughts. They can't embrace the truth. The light has not been shined into their heart. That's why there are those who do not believe. And until God shines the light into their heart, they cannot believe. That's why, and when he does that, by the way, that's what we call being born again. That's what we call being quickened by the Spirit of God. That's what we call regeneration. All right? All of those things describe when God makes that change and raises us from a death in sins and gives us spiritual life. Right. And that's why Jesus, right off the bat, so to speak, dealt with that principle with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he said, "Master, we know that thou art a prophet sent from God, a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things except no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him." In other words, Nicodemus could see something. He wasn't one of those of the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests that wanted to destroy Jesus. Nicodemus could see something. He could see this man is different. This man must be from God, because no man can do what you're doing except God is with him. You know what that tells me? Nicodemus had spiritual life. He was just in the dark as far as his understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. All right? And so Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again." All this that I've been talking about, except a man be born again, he cannot, do you get that? He cannot see the kingdom of God. That is spiritual things. He doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have spiritual life to see spiritual things. The natural man sees natural things and understands natural things. But until we have spiritual life, we don't see and understand spiritual things. So it all changes when God shines the light into our heart. Then you can hear spiritual things. Then you can see spiritual things. Then you could embrace this wonderful truth. And bless your hearts, if you have been blessed to understand who Jesus is and it rejoices your heart to know that he has saved us from our sins, then you are his child. You are born of the Spirit of God. Heaven will be your home. And if you're burdened down with your sins, and if you think there's no way that you could be saved, the only reason you have that conviction is because the Spirit of God is there convicting you of your sin. The natural man doesn't care about his sins. The natural man's not bothered with his sins. The natural man doesn't give credit to God for being the just judge. It's only those who have that spirit of conviction and condemnation within them about their sins that have had the light shined. Now, just because that light's been shined in doesn't mean you've got perfect knowledge of everything. It just simply means you've got life. You've got the ability to see spiritual things, and you need to be taught. And that's why the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul is speaking about ministry and preaching the gospel and teaching folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's good news to you to hear that Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 1:15, Jesus Christ came into this world, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Not acceptation. Acceptation. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Not try. Not offer it. He did it. And Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Paul felt to be the chief of sinners. Do you have any fellowship with Paul in that regard? Do you feel to be the chief of sinners? Sometimes when I'm thinking clearly, I think, Lord, you've been so good to me. I've been such a rascal. And you've had mercy upon me. You have blessed me. You have continued to love me. You have watched over me. You have provided for me. I have a hope in Christ. I have a hope of heaven. Lord, how could you be so merciful? How could you be so gracious? How could you be so loving and forgiving? I'll give you two words. Jesus Christ. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in the natural sense, hath in the spiritual sense shined the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you something, this is the greatest expression of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. Now time's about gone. Let me close out. There's a lot more we could say about this, and I may have created more questions than answers, but understanding, God has to shine the light in our heart to give the light of the knowledge, the glory of God, the face of Jesus Christ. Understanding that, appreciating that, rejoicing in that, let's read how the book of Hebrews begins. The book of Hebrews. I'm persuaded Paul had preached and preached and preached unto the Jews, and he'd been rejected so many times. I'm persuaded that the book of Hebrews was one final attempt and Paul didn't even put his name on it. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews by the inspiration of the Spirit. A lot of people don't think Paul wrote it. I do. Okay. That's my opinion. I hope it's an informed opinion. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. I left out a real important point earlier. How is it that we understand these things? How is it that, yes, we've been born again. Yes, we've been given life. But part of the process of giving us life is where we also find faith. It's not something you manufacture yourself by study and by conclusion. And you might manufacture conversion that way. But faith comes in the new birth. When he gives us spiritual faculties, part of that is faith. All right? When you read about the fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, you can bear this fruit. And one of those fruit is faith. Right. And Hebrews 11:3 tells us that it's through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that they were all things were made of things which do not appear. All things that appear were made of things which do not appear. In other words, God made everything out of nothing. Right? But how do we understand that? Just like we said, does everybody believe that God spoke this world into existence? No. How do we believe that? Through faith. Because he's given us a new birth. He's given us his Spirit. All right? So come back now to Hebrews 1. He spoke in times past by the prophets, hath at these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, isn't that what we were talking about in 2 Corinthians 4? Who being the brightness of his glory, you won't find a greater expression of the glory of God than you'll find in Jesus Christ, because his eternal purpose was to save his people through Christ, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That was the work the Father sent him to do. And when he had by himself purged our sins. The angel told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Here it says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down. Why could he sit down then? Because he was finished. He finished the work the Father sent him to do. Oh, there's so much that I've had to leave out. But hopefully there'll be another time, another topic. Another way to talk about these glorious things. But listen, the truth of the Word of God is that it's God who has shined the light out of, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Until he shines that light into our heart, we don't have spiritual life. We don't have understanding. We can't see the things of the Spirit. But when he does, then we can begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Word has so much to say about light being knowledge. The entrance of thy Word giveth light. From Psalm 119. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. And there's so much that the Bible says about the light that we need. That has to come from God. But once he's given us life, then we can enjoy the light. Amen. And one more verse. I thought I was finished, but I didn't get to it. In 1 John, when I quoted verses 1 through 3, verse 4 says, as far as Christ, in him, in the Word, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. In other words, he's got the life. And when he shines that light in our heart, and when he gives us life, the result is it's light to us. Now we're alive. Now we can see. Now we can understand the things of God because his life has been given to us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Once he's given us life, then we can receive the light and rejoice in it and grow in it. So I hope I've stirred your heart. I hope I've stirred your mind. I hope I've touched your heart with these truths this morning. Hope you'll perhaps go to the website and listen to this again, because there's a lot of things that we had to leave out. Maybe you can fill in some of the gaps. May God bless you to grow in grace and in the knowledge, which is light. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And rejoice in the life that he's given us and the light that has been the result of it. May God bless you is our prayer.